Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT 2.0, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to AEW Rampage tonight and the in-ring debut of one Jay White. For those who maybe are slightly less aware of this phenomenally talented individual, he's facing up against Trent Barreta. How are you feeling about this, and what should we expect?
Yeah, if you're not a fan of New Japan Pro Wrestling, or like many people, you've kind of tapered off because that promotion, sadly, and it still hurts a little bit, is declined like really quite horrendously. And sadly, Jay White is a very intricate, slow burn professional wrestler. He is a heel through and through. He does nothing to seek a pop. You know, he's not boring. He's not Baron Corbin.
Yes.
He's what dumb wrestling fans think Baron Corbin is. He's a heel's heel. He wrestles a style. He doesn't do it to deprive wrestlers of enjoyment. He just makes the pops and the spots that evoke pops feel elusive. Like, he's a great working heel. Like, when he eventually gets, like, drilled into the canvas, or when he gets battered in the face, like, it really actually means something. A lot of people think that it takes way too long for Jay White to actually deliver that catharsis in the heel role. He's one to stall quite a lot in his matches. So in his most famous New Japan Pro Wrestling matches, or the vast majority of them, he will simply motion to do a collar and elbow tie-up, roll out of the ring, and stall. He will go back in, he will roll out of the ring, and stall. This pisses a lot of people off, and it does not work in the clap crowd environment, but it is ultimately effective. At his best, Jay White, with his facial expressions, the way he builds a match, is a phenomenal heel. But as I described him on the Dynamite review, he's kind of like a dense novel where you know it's good. You know you're ultimately going to get more out of it than most novels, but it just feels impenetrable. It feels daunting to actually sit down at times and watch a Jay White match. He basically, despite being nowhere near his athletic prime, has decided to focus on the psychological aspect of the game. But he's still an exceptional pro wrestler. Incredible with a counter, so look forward to that tonight. He's got more than enough personality. And you've seen him, not much, because I just find non-WWE or AEW stuff somewhat grim in these pandemic years, if I'm being perfectly honest, because the crowds are either small or all they do is clap. I just feel it's all a bit bittersweet. But from what I've seen of Jay White work in television, he's more than capable of adapting his act. You're not going to see, in a compact TV medium, him do a lot of the stalling stuff. I think he's going to emphasize his facials, how much of a smug tosser he can appear in the best possible way. Very punchable face. And he's exceptional with a counter. But like Edge working as a heel with a more like legitimate ground style honed by his years working New Japan Pro Wrestling. I understand that this match works because it's part of the ongoing Best Friends versus Elite Super Click Paragon Undisputed Era, whatever rivalry. But Trent, it's fortuitous that they are paired together through the parameters of the program, because I think they're going to make perfect opponents. Jay White is exceptional at catching people unawares and countering whatever they have and drilling them headfirst into the mat, where Trent is a pretty impulsive guy who does short, explosive bursts of offense and has got no compunction whatsoever about being dropped on his neck. So I'm expecting like fire versus ground game, explosions countered. I expect this to be a really, really, really strong match. And just on Rampage in general, we don't necessarily need to hear the buzz anymore about whether the show itself, more often than not being taped, being good, because not many people talk about it these days. And yet a lot of the shows are really, really very good. However, I've had quite a few people in my mentions on Twitter this week saying that the red-hot crowd, where was it? Where were they?
I'll have a double check. What should we talk about this?
It's on the tip of my goddamn head. But anyway,
we went to Atlantic City. That was the other week, wasn't it?
That was the other week, yes. Nashville, Tennessee. They were in Nashville, Tennessee. Apparently that red-hot crowd, that was such a immense asset to Dynamite. Apparently they stayed hot and Rampage was class.
Very good. Looking forward to that. Like you say, you've heaped praise on Booker of the Year now, Tony Khan, in the Wrestling Observer Awards. We're actually going to be talking more about the Wrestling Observer Awards on Wrestle Culture Later with one Michael Sidgwick, so make sure you go and listen to that. For his decision to put Keith Lee with Isaiah Cassidy in his debut match. I completely echo what you say there in terms of the fact that, yeah, if you're bringing Jay White in, not much people you can go better than in terms of an introduction and then beat than Trent Barretta.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's what Trent Barretta exists to do. Obviously, Jay White's going to go over. They'll have a very, very, very good, potentially even great match in the process. Trent's one of those guys where you don't think beating him means that much, but when he can give you such a good match, it kind of does matter in the end.
A more surreal match is the one that was booked following Dynamite, setting up the number one contender who's going to be challenging Hangman Page in, God, what is it? 2 weeks now, isn't it? 2 weeks on Sunday for the AEW World Championship. Adam Cole facing Hulked Up 10, I guess. He wrecked all the security on Dynamite. It was a weird build to this, but it makes a lot of sense.
It does, it does. Apparently Colt Cabana is not in the US for whatever reason, so it's kind of process of elimination at this point, because Adam Cole's already worked quite a few members of the Dark Order. He's worked John Silver, who'd be a go-to singles match guy because he's just so explosive and rapid. They had a great match. He beat Evil Uno within minutes. Cabana's not there. Kind of who else is there? Like, I think Alex Reynolds is underrated, but for like a TV match graphic, like a big hulking guy probably looks more impressive.
Or like an Alan Angels, better than an Alan Angels.
Yeah, Alan Angels,
I think
actually.
He's great, yeah. Like he did all that stuff with Omega, obviously.
Yeah. I think I prefer that, really. If I'm being honest, maybe it's the promotion in which he works. He might look better if he was in Impact or WWE, quite frankly. There's just too much quality in that roster for me to get jazzed about a 10. He's okay. He's never really shown me anything. There's odd strength spots that he's capable of where I'm legitimately impressed.
Yeah.
But nothing that can, like, really, he can put together to craft, like, a really good match. I've never seen a really great 10 match. I know why he's there. Theoretically, he's a big lad. Adam Cole's face can sell his strength. Like, it probably makes sense on that basis. But, yeah, I'm not really excited about this. We know who's going to win.
Yes.
The angle setting up was weird. 10 is in that unfortunate place where he's probably got something. They obviously see something in him. He's been put in the spot before, but they don't do house shows. He could probably do with going on an excursion. I understand this is all incidental to the fact that we are meant to be previewing one of his matches, but that kind of says a lot about how much I give a toss about this match in itself.
Yeah, I think you're selling him slightly short, because I've seen a great 10 matches when Jon Moxley caved his fucking head in.
Yes.
So maybe not quite the same. You can't really have Adam Cole be as much of an ass kicker as Jon Moxley. But looking at the rest of this card, you've got a qualifier for the Revolution ladder match. You've got a rookie challenge. I'm very excited to talk to you about that in a second. And you've got the Jay White-Trent Barretta match. A lot of wrestling. I realize this isn't, you know, WWE, but a lot of wrestling on this show. So I'd have him put Tenoa relatively swiftly and just sell me more on him beating Hangman Page at Revolution, because we know what a great talker Adam Cole is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Story time with Adam Cole, baby.
With Adam Cole, baby. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't need to see, particularly when he's... The promo was so good setting up the Hangman Page match that it kind of erased memories of, oh, but he lost to Orange Cassidy, so how seriously are they considering putting the title on him, or how much can he buy him as a threat? That promo has kind of receded memories of that one, so I don't need him to sell too long for a guy who I can, like, if you put your fictional hat on, oh, he's a big lad, raw, not as experienced or as good, but look at the size of him. He could, I don't really see it like that. You see a wrestler who's nowhere near Adam Cole in terms of star power or quality. I don't want to be insulted, just, oh, he's so strong. No.
Straightforward victory for Adam Cole.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I wouldn't go too long on this at all.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Next up, let's talk about a match where I'm sort of divided between head and heart. Head says, of course, Dante Martin wins this qualifier to head to the Face of Revolution ladder match, because it's Dante Martin in a ladder match. He can fly just on his feet, let alone if you chuck him up a ladder. But there's also the potential of Powerhouse Hobbs joining Wardlow and Keith Lee as the three men qualifying so far, which would just be bonkers.
Yeah, I'm way more torn on this than I thought I would ever be. As soon as you see the match graphic, Dante Martin is in a ladder match qualification. You'd think, well, put him in it. Don't even make him qualify. I want to see this ridiculous, ridiculous aerial artist do things in a ladder match. But at the same time, I am kind of intrigued by the idea of like a half horse, half like smaller, athletic, flippy, explosive, whatever guy in a ladder match. Like you can have, say Darby Allin gets into it, which I think he will, stemming from the events of Revolution. I think Andrade and Darby Allin will both be in there. Like Darby Allin getting like thrown between like the monsters,
yes.
And then one of them like throws him, and then he just lands on the top of a ladder somehow. Because like imagine Keith Lee eating Darby Allin.
Could he? I'm doing my thing again here, Sidge. The Beal that he did with Isaiah Cassidy. Is there any way that that Darby Allin could rotate and then land on a ladder?
He could rotate, land on a ladder, or they could do a Beal, and then they could have Darby Allin like put his hand on the carabiner.
Oh yeah,
without actually getting the title, and then if Powerhouse Hobbs or Wardlow wins, but if you know one of the horses that isn't Keith Lee, oh no, Keith Lee right yeets Darby Allin so high that Darby Allin puts his hand on the carabiner. Wardlow, underneath the carabiner, gets his legs, boom, powerbomb.
Oh, I like that.
Like Darby Allin, we are kind of pitching his death at this point.
Well, I've seen him take worse. He'll be fine.
So I am intrigued by the idea of putting three horses in there, like legitimately, but at the same time.
Three horses in there, Darby Allin, Andrade, and Sting.
But why would you... Surely, right? I think... Why would you put Dante Martin in a match graphic for a ladder match, knowing the potential of how ridiculously spectacular it could look, and then deprive fans of it?
Yeah.
That just seems senseless to me. It's one thing to put Hobbs in there, who I think would be a really unique dynamic to a ladder match. And I know he's involved in a feud with Team Taz, so the match itself makes sense. I don't understand why you would excite your audience with the idea of this and not follow through. So I'm expecting Dante Martin to win on that basis.
I agree.
One thing I will say is I don't have particularly high expectations for the match. For whatever reason, then neither of them are the most refined or experienced of talents. And they've probably worked their best matches against guys who are like, who can not carry them, but you know what I mean? Like guide them through it somewhat. Yes. I've not really been impressed by a Dante Martin powerhouse Hobbs yet match. And it's a ridiculous thought because they're both individually very good in most contexts. The dynamic of a big monster bloke throwing Dante Martin around should be way more entertaining than it has been. There's been moments of clunkiness. Maybe the fact that there are so many young, up-and-coming breakthrough acts who you have to keep an eye out for. Maybe a lot of AEW fans have stopped keeping an eye on all of them. The whole Darby Allin Jungle Boy principle worked because it was a select handful of guys. But now you don't know who to really place your investment in. And maybe the fans, because they haven't really provided a fairness atmosphere for any of these matches. They've never really connected. They've worked together twice before on Dynamite. So this is the third one they've done. I believe they are 1-1. So this will be a nice sort of conclusion to their sub-rivalry. But I just can't expect it to be that blow-away great, actually. But looking at the reports for this Rampage tape and maybe the finally click, I would say Dante Martin's going to win.
I would say Dante Martin's going to win. What's the latest on Darius Martin? I'm just trying to think of like a finish for this that would be, you know, more than just, oh, Dante Martin steals one. I know he can do some mad stuff and really pull it out, but I don't know, maybe I don't want to speculate on someone if they're not ready to return, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those where I just would expect him to turn up when he's here. The greatest will in the world, like Dante, has obviously overshadowed him. He couldn't not, given the fact that he's not been there, Darius Martin. So I don't know, but hopefully soon, because I think Top Flight have got incredible potential.
Yeah, without question. Let's talk about one of my new favourite things in AEW. Serena Deeb's 5-minute rookie challenge. It's the second one of these tonight on Rampage. I anticipate a straightforward 60-second victory for her again. But this is going to be a story, isn't it, of can any rookie beat Serena Deeb's challenge, basically?
Yeah. The time to give the rookie a hope spot is not now. I would say they need to do about 3, 4, 5 versions of... Oh, I think I know where this is going, actually.
Go on.
They need to do 3, 4, 5, someone loses in a minute. And it only takes a minute because Serena Deeb likes to gloat a little bit. She could really do it in 20 seconds if she wanted. Thunder Rosa is presumably going to take the title, the belt, off Britt Baker. They're building Serena Deeb in the background, possibly ahead of Thunder Rosa being the first pay-per-view or big TV Battle of the Belts, maybe, challenger. Thunder Rosa is heavily involved in, what's the name of the promotion? I can't remember, but Thunder Rosa is heavily involved in a promotion, and she's very much, is it Mission?
I'm having a look.
Regardless, Thunder Rosa is heavily invested in the future of women's wrestling on the whole, not just her career. She either runs or is very heavily involved in a promotion that facilitates that ambition of hers.
It is Mission.
Mission, yes, of course. And we've already seen in canon, when she was setting up the match in the TBS title tournament with Jade Cargill, it's already canon that Thunder Rosa has proteges and students.
Yes.
So they've folded that into AEW canon. Well, one of them is a protege of Thunder Rosa when she has the title, and that is your link to the 5-minute challenge to Thunder Rosa title match. I would really like that because it's not just, oh, Serena Deeb's really good at wrestling, give her a few wins on Dark, and then, oh, she can be the first challenger to Thunder Rosa when she wins the belt. This is an actually well-thought-out storyline, if in fact it is going to go that way. But yeah, as I said, this one should go less than a minute. It's a bit cheeky. It's the old Jade Cargill principle of, well, we know we're going to strap her up. We know that we don't have to consider wins and losses and book that far in advance to put another woman on the show. Just give Jade 30 seconds. Doesn't matter what her record looks like, because if she wins, it doesn't complicate or put her in the queue when she doesn't need to be. They don't have to think about it, basically. So it's a little bit cheeky on that basis, as you're talking women's match, to have 40 seconds of Serena Deeb doing this gimmick. But I do like the gimmick enough to excuse it. But they could put two women's matches on there.
Yes, indeed. It's ending one of two ways, like you say, isn't it? Thunder Rosa, or I think it was you or Hamlet's pitched a masked Hikaru Shida being a surprise rookie,
yeah,
that does take her for the 5 minutes. But in answer to my question, can any rookie beat Serena Deeb's challenge? No.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy every second of her, like you say, tapping her watch and then eventually just wrenching someone's leg to get the submission victory. Before we wrap up, a bit of an elephant in the room I want to talk to you about. The rating that came out yesterday for AEW Dynamite, I was surprised by this. Not too surprised, not, you know, jaw on the floor sort of thing, because there's a lot of contributing factors. I don't want to be the person who explains it all away. But you got the Olympics, South Park. It was quite a diverse TV schedule, let's just say, on Wednesday night. But yeah, what was it? An average of 869,000, 0.31 for 18 to 49, which, you know, yes, is still above what probably the channel wanted from them, but is without a doubt a drop. I think it's the lowest since they moved to TBS. Should AEW be worried? Should AEW fans be worried by this ratings drop?
I would say no. Until it becomes a pattern, absolutely not. We've seen this time and time again with AEW. It's kind of like, it's just a consistent pattern. They do very well for a couple of weeks, then they have one drop off, and then they'll deliver like a match that people really want on TV, and then they'll get back up to number one, handily defeating
only
all
third,
of them.
Weren't they?
Only third. Yeah, I just think this is an aberration. If there's a pattern, and it happens more often than not, then you can start to maybe worry and then maybe start to just do more all-star matches, do a shift in the booking philosophy. But now it's really working for them. Aberration of a week.
Brilliant week the week before as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an excellent rating the week before. So I would classify this as an aberration for now, because that's exactly what it is thus far. I wouldn't be so quick to make excuses if I'm an AEW fan. And I am, but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
About, oh, well, you know, the competition was fierce. Like, Raw did really, really well against the Olympics. So, if
on sci-fi as well.
On
yeah.
sci-fi. If it didn't, I'd be like, all right, okay, well, it's just something that's affecting wrestling all week. Clearly, it's not. So, you can't use that excuse.
We'll keep an eye on that. But do let us know your thoughts ahead of AEW Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The SmackDown preview is already available. And Sidgwick will be back alongside Phil Chambers for Wrestle Culture with the hashtag Bloody Good Quiz a little bit later on today. But for now, this has been the AEW Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.